And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Someone once said that parables are like fishing lures. They're full of attractive features like feathers and bright colors, but they end with a sharp little barb. Today's scripture reading is one of those parables. It starts out innocently enough. Jesus draws us in with a story of two men who go up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. One of the men is a Pharisee and the other is a tax collector. The Pharisee stands before God with confidence, naming all the ways in which he has been faithful to God's law. In fact, he has done even more than God has asked of him, so he believes that he is righteous. He knows that he is not a sinner, not like that tax collector over there, the one who is standing far off, so ashamed of his failings that he's left begging for God's mercy. "Thank you, God," the Pharisee says, "that I am not like him." So Jesus draws us into this story and invites us to take our place in the parable. And it seems like such an easy choice, for who would choose to be the Pharisee? Of course, we are not self-righteous like he is. We are not conceited like he is. We are not condescending like he is. But as soon as we start thinking that way, we discover that we have been hooked. The sharp little barb at the end gets us. Because as soon as we fall prey to the temptation to divide ourselves from others, we have aligned ourselves squarely with the Pharisee. As soon as we fall prey to the temptation to think that we are faithful and others not so much, that we are humble and others not so much, that we are compassionate, others not so much. Whenever we draw a line between us and them, we are doomed. Anytime we draw a line between who's in and who's out, this parable reminds us that we will find God on the other side. So the difference between the Pharisees and the tax collectors' approaches wasn't so much where they stood or the words they spoke. The difference was about what was in their hearts. The Pharisees' prayer gave voice to a way of being in the world, a way that is devoid of the very blessings that are at the heart of a life of faith. Because faith draws us into relationship with God and with each other. But the Pharisee was so focused on himself and the righteousness that he thought he had worked so hard to earn that he could not see the ways in which God's grace and love were poured upon him. It didn't matter how much he fasted or how much he gave. And the Pharisee couldn't love his neighbors because he only saw their shortcomings. So of course we don't want to be like him. But we have to be careful of the sharp little barb that will get us if we start thinking that we're not. So maybe the way to free ourselves from the tangled net of this parable is to focus not so much on the Pharisee or the tax collector in particular, but on God. The God who loves the Pharisee and loves the tax collector and loves each one of us. We can focus on the God who cracks open our hearts so that we might receive the abundance of God's grace and see the blessings of God's love all around us. In 1975, Parker Palmer moved with his wife and three children to Pendle Hill, which is a Quaker community just outside of Philadelphia. Pendle Hill was founded in 1930 and is still going strong. It's a retreat center for many people, but there are also residents who choose to live there together in community, sharing meals and work, study and social action, worship, and lots of laughter. During the 10 years he lived and worked at Pendle Hill, Palmer learned how to trust in community and how to draw upon the abundance of God's grace. He learned how to see the blessing of God's love all around him. Because that community of faith did not have a lot of money, but they had each other. And they learned to see the ways in which God had given them what they needed in order to be the people God was calling them to be. They learned that what they needed was already in their midst, because they had James, who struggled to grasp the abstract principles that guide the Quaker approach to education, but when a furnace broke down in midwinter, forcing people to wear parkas in their rooms, James knew how to fix it. And they had Cynthia, who needed supervision in the garden so she wouldn't uproot vegetable seedlings thinking they were weeds. I can relate to Cynthia. But if someone was grieving a profound loss, it was Cynthia who would help them find the comfort that comes only when you feel deeply seen and heard. And they had Nancy and Bill, who felt called to bear witness against a racist measure the city council was considering at one point that would have affected their community too. Reflecting on his time at Pendle Hill, Palmer said, "A decade of experiences like this left me with no doubt that what we need is within us and among us. Whether the problem is mechanical or spiritual or political, what we need is already here, way more often than we think." But that is not what the world tells us. The world doesn't tell us that we already have everything we need. The world invites us to play the if-only game. If only we could raise enough money to fund this important work. If only we could find the right expert to solve this problem. If only I could get a raise in order to be able to do all of the things that I want to do. If only we could amass enough power to keep our nation safe. If only we could elect better public servants to political office. And as we enter a new stewardship season, it can be easy to start playing the if-only game ourselves. If only more people would pledge. If only more people would increase their giving. If only our church properties didn't need so much care. If only we could figure out how to do more with less. If only we weren't living in the midst of this time of incredible economic uncertainty. If only, if only, if only. But that kind of mentality causes us to be like the Pharisee, because we end up standing in judgment of one another and in denial of God's abundance. So what if we could be like Parker Palmer instead? What if we trusted in each other and in the abundance of God's grace? What if we opened our eyes to see God's blessings that are already among us? What if we developed a keen awareness of the ways in which God has given us what we need in order to be the people God is? Because God has been doing that here at Old South for 300 years. Next year, our church will celebrate our 300th anniversary, which is pretty amazing. For 300 years, Old South Union Church has been a place where people of faith have come together to worship God and follow Jesus and love one another and serve the world. And this is no small feat. Just think of all the changes that have happened in the course of history over the past 300 years. And through it all, our church has been a steady presence in the lives of so many people for generations now. And we've been able to do that because God has given us what we have needed in order to be the church in this place. As we look ahead to our church's future, as we discern where God is leading us next, it can be so easy to start playing the if-only game. If only we had more money, if only we had more time and energy, if only more people volunteered, if only things could go back to the way they were before the pandemic began. But friends, we don't believe in an if-only God. We believe in a God who loves the Pharisee and the tax collector and each one of us, no matter what. This is the God who cracks open our hearts so that we might receive the abundance of God's grace and see the blessings that God has given us, the blessings that are all around us. So as we enter this new stewardship season, let us give thanks for our past, and let us give our gifts for our future. Let us give with our hearts wide open. Let us give because we want to be part of what God has been doing here at Old South for 300 years now. And with our faithful and generous giving, we will get to faithfully serve God here at Old South for years to come. And the best part is that we will get to do that together. Amen. And friends, our closing hymn is a prayer of sorts. It is called, "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian." And it reminds us of all the ways in which we can give ourselves over to God as we figure out what it means to be the church together. So this hymn is in your hymnals if you're here in the sanctuary, and if you're worshiping online, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us.